All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show live on this beautiful Thursday morning from the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel. Big Joe with you. Chase McCabe is on vacation, but not till next week. So today Chase is getting another, he's been certified for LinkedIn for cloud storage and architecture. So today he's giving another coffee talk out in East Nashville today. So Chase will do that. So sitting in and part of my community service, which I didn't really agree to, is I have, every time Chase is off, I have to bring in, when Dr. Crane's busy, I got to bring in Mike Organ from the Tennessean. Mike's with us today. Mike, good morning. Thanks for doing this.
Good morning, Joe. How many hours did you get? 6,000?
I mean, oh, gosh.
Because we've been doing this a while now.
Probably a little over 5,000 community hours.
Yeah,
so the judge's like, hey, part of this, I know you're lazy, but can you bring Mike on the radio because he really needs this? I'm like, okay. So that's what we did. So, Mike, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning. I don't know where I'd be without you, Joe.
So you're on vacation.
On vacation, staycation, not going anywhere. Been at the Tennessean so long, I get about 4 or 5 weeks. So I just don't work much during the summer, so look for things to do. So just kind of hanging out, and I said, hey, I'll go do Joe's show.
Yeah, because the provost of the court called and said, hey, you're busy on Thursday.
I meet with Metro every January, and the line leaves with my vacation.
Yeah. So it's story time with Uncle Mike for the next 2 hours on the show. A lot of fun doing that. There's a lot of topics we'll get to, a lot of fun things going on. There's a lot of stuff that we talked about before that we got new listeners all the time that we'll talk about. I get asked all the time, we're not going to get into it now, but during the show, the Kyle Busch incident at Nashville Speedway with me, you, and Larry Woody, it was one of the greatest moments in Nashville sports history. I happen to be right in the middle of all that. We'll talk about that. I always like the Jay Cutler story. You bring it up every time. I always ask you about it. Former quarterback Jay Cutler almost wasn't a quarterback in the National Football League because some certain coach wanted to put him in at safety, right?
During his
redshirt year.
Woody wouldn't offer. And a certain offensive coordinator went ballistic.
I love the story. I love it because it's so funny because, you know, Cutler goes in the 2006 draft, is drafted in the first round by the Broncos, and that almost did not happen. So the story always makes me laugh that goes on. And we'll talk about how you and I were on the first paid professional football team in Nashville 4 years before the Titans arrived.
It was at about this time this year of the year that this team started up. And I just saw it like a little small ad in the Tennessean. Semi-pro football tryouts at Tennessee State. I think they said they were going to be at Tennessee State. And that's where they were, but I think they announced that up on the practice field.
Right.
And somebody at the Tennessean got the wise idea, hey, Oregon, go try out for this team and do a first-person story.
Kind of like the George Plimpton, right?
And yeah,
the,
Paper
Lion, was that what it's called?
Paper Lion, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And how did it come about with you? How did you?
Walt Wells and I were working at the down at the Wrangler, and we got Walt. Somebody told Walt, "Hey, there's a pro football team that's trying out. They need guys. They need linemen specifically."
Right.
And so Walt said, "Let's go out and do that." So we practiced at Smyrna. You know, made the team. Walt was center. I was a guard, and I played defensive tackle. I mean, it was a ball. And here's the deal: we got paid. It was called the Tennessee Generals,
mm-hmm.
and we got paid. And we had some talent on that team.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
John English, who had played in the NFL and been a great quarterback at Tulane. Keith Davis from Tennessee, one of the greatest running backs ever from Nashville.
Tavio Henson,
defensive back. Billy Cunningham, a hard-hitting middle linebacker from Overton and Vanderbilt. Great line with you guys and Steve McAdoo.
Yeah, right.
Who played forever. And
Tony
Gaines from Pittsburgh and who played for the Steelers after leaving MTSU. Jimmy Lackey. Not Jimmy. Jimmy's his cousin.
Ken
Lackey.
6'7", 390.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, huge guy.
But that was so much. We got paid to do that. We'll get into all that later on, too, because you brought the helmet. I've got the helmet on my desk, too, from the Tennessee Generals. And it'd be great. I mean, if you sit down and write that story, it'd be fun. Only me and Walt Wells would buy the book, but it'd still be funny.
My decals came off, and these are new decals. And I was telling Skip Nipper – our friend, one time at lunch about my decals. Well, he owns an embroidery shop. His son now runs it, and his wife owns it. And I told him about it, and about 2 weeks later, he called me and said, hey, meet me. And he had made me new decals. Of course, this is in the man cave, and I put new decals on the helmet.
So. Oh, that's fantastic. It looks good. Your helmet looks good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it doesn't have a lot of marks on it. I wonder why.
Mine's all beat to hell. So, but I got – I mean, when the team folded halfway through the season – you talked to her, like, hey, you got to turn your equipment in. I'm like, no, I'm good. So I kept everything.
Yeah, there was some checks that didn't get cashed during that time, and that was the compensation was we're keeping our equipment.
Well, when we got paid, I went to Kroger in
Antioch.
Had to.
We got paid in the Hickory Hollow parking lot.
Yeah, right.
Behind, was that Castronauts? Or was it
the Dillard's? Something over there, yeah.
Dillard's. It was one of the three big staples.
Right.
And we got paid for some reason. We all met there, and the owner would come and pay us, and then everybody would bust it over to Kroger across Bell Road,
right,
to get it cashed before the money ran out.
Yeah, I loved it, man. That was such a good time.
But you remember we had a trainer that showed up for every practice, yeah. Who I still see to this day. I think at high school games, and
yep.
And we had a PR guy. What was his name?
What was that guy's name?
He's from Murfreesboro.
His father drove him around in a VW Beetle. He looked like Mr. Magoo, right? Steve Effler.
Effler, Steve Effler.
God, I can't remember. I pulled that name out of my what.
And he had an assistant, yep. Even. And yeah, so
those were some good times. Yeah, I mean, so that was funny. We were the first professional team that got. I mean, we had guys that played in the NFL after that. It was just crazy. I'm like, what in the world's happening? We'll do all that. All right, Dr. Crane back in the Busy Bee studio. Good morning, Dr. Crane. How are we?
Good morning, fellas. Doing all right? I feel pretty good. Got Skillet all situated yesterday. Drove about 3 hours in total on the road yesterday. It was nice. You know, when you drive all the way out to Shelbyville and there's a beautiful sky and you have nothing to worry about, it's a great ride.
That is that's God's country.
It is God's country. I stopped by the meat shop where I picked them up at, and they said, hey, there's a creamery down the road. I was like, all right, cool. So stopped over at a creamery, and it was pretty good.
Did you get your picture taken at the Rick Ensel statue in Shelbyville?
No, I did not.
Is there a Rick Ensel statue?
No, gosh.
I did fill up for 244, though, which was pretty nice.
Oh, that's not bad. So, Mike, if you don't know, our producer bought a pig, hog, what'd you buy?
It's a hog. It's the proper term is an Asian red waller hog. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, is this a pet or is this a July 4th hog?
This is a July 4th, Thanksgiving, Christmas, my birthday, and a little bit more.
Yes. And so this past weekend was Goodbye Skillet Day. And Dr. Crane named his pig. So Skillet. Now he gave him a personality. So now it hurts.
Skillet is going on Skillet.
Oh, my goodness. I did a story one time when the Predators first came here, and I know Joe doesn't want to get into much Predators talk, but we talked to the ones from Czechoslovakia, and I had a friend from Czechoslovakia.
Ivan Lindell?
No, it was a female, and she would she agreed to cook a carp. A carp is a delicacy there.
Oh, okay.
And you buy the carp live because you had to serve it fresh. And you put it in your bathtub. I don't know where you bathe during the time. It's because you buy it 2 or 3 days out. And you put it in the bathtub. And then when the dinner is, that's the night you kill it because it needs to be as fresh as possible.
What in the hell?
I know. And we invited three of them from Czechoslovakia. I wish I could remember their name. Jim Myers and I did this. He was our food writer at the time. He now runs Ellis.
Oh, yeah. I know Jim, yeah.
Great guy. And so we invited three of the Czechoslovakian Yugoslavia players, and they came over, and we had this carp that had been in Jim's bathtub for 2 or 3 days that she had gotten out on one of the European restaurants out where service merchandise used to be on Thompson Lane.
Okay.
And he's about this big. I'm showing about 2 feet right where now, and he's about 8 pounds. And, yeah, she told me the problem back home was that they'd put it in the bathtub,
yeah.
And the kids would get attached to it before the big dinner, and they wouldn't want to kill the carp the night of the dinner. So that was an issue like with what you're talking about with Skillet.
What a bizarre world we live in. What the hell?
And let me say, it was terrible.
I can imagine.
I'd always been told that carp tasted like mud. it tasted just like mud, even though I'd never had mud. It's what I'd imagined.
I won't even get in my own bathtub, much less eat a carp out of the bathtub. That's disgusting. 3 days, 2 days, and the carp just swims around?
I think we did 2 days because I think we were late getting it. But, yeah, it swam around for 2 days. And every once in a while you'd put fresh water in it to keep it alive, you know. To keep the oxygen level
this
up.
This sounds like Silence of the Lambs Part 5. I'm not doing this. It's disgusting. But did you eat the carp?
No, yeah, I ate it, and it was horrible. It tasted terrible. But those guys loved it. I don't know if they were just being nice, but they devoured it. And Jim wrapped some up for me because I was being nice, too, and I said, yeah, this is good. But then, you know, I whispered into my friend's ear. I said, this is horrible. But Jim wrapped some up for me in aluminum foil, and I took some home with me, too, which didn't get eaten. I think the dog ended up with that.
I would have thrown it back at him. I'm not taking that. That's disgusting.
It was cooked, like, with potatoes and stuff, and the potatoes were good, the potatoes and carrots and stuff. Yeah. But the carp tasted like what you'd think carp would taste like.
I'm telling you, if I was dying of hunger and you brought me a fish out of Percy Priest Lake and said, here you go, here's a carp, I'd be like, I'd rather die.
I did a story one time on a guy that caught a 62-pound blue channel cat fish out of Percy Priest. He was from Japan. He worked at Nissan, and he was here for like a six-month period.
Okay.
He was an executive. And he caught this 62-pound, and he sent me the picture. I checked it out with TWRA, Doug Markham over there. It turned out to be a lake record 62-pound blue channel cat. So the guy was so excited about it, he took it home, and his wife cut it up in a little 6 ounce and put it in 6 ounce plastic bags and froze it. And then he takes it back the next day to Nissan out in Smyrna.
Okay.
And he's given these plastic bags. I don't know. I can't do the math, but 6 ounces divided by – or 6 ounces – 62 pounds divided by 6 ounces.
I don't know.
However
math.
Many patches.
I went to McGavick. We don't do math.
Well, at DuPont, we were only a notch above you. So so he goes around giving all his workmates catfish
right.
in these little bags. And behind him came another executive, a lower executive. And after he would get out of sight, he would whisper to the person, "Don't eat that cat. Don't eat that fish. That's a catfish out of Percy Priest. It hadn't been off the bottom in 30 years. It's been out there eating mud and tin cans.
Oh my gosh!
Junk for 60. So just take it and throw it away. But thank him for it. And that's what happened. And yeah, he cut it up. I would have mounted it. I don't know if you mount catfish, but
62-pound catfish.
It was only about 2-3 feet long. He was huge. He was like a Volkswagen big.
All verified. You had it all verified?
I called Doug Markham and to say, you know, what's the lake record, and they said it, and so we weighed him, and yeah, it may have been surpassed since then. That was a while back.
Right.
But it was the lake record for blue channel cat.
Oh, pass on that.
Do you know they can do, though? You can send a picture of your fish now.
Don't tell Brett Favre.
And they can estimate the weight. They can do the estimation of the length and the width and all that. And they can estimate the weight. You don't even have to take it to get it.
How do you know it's not? I mean, because there's probably some guy out there who's going to make something fake. And like, I caught a 94-pound bluegill, whatever.
You basically have to take them at their word there. Because there's a lot of private lakes. Yeah. You know, you can get you a private lake. Well, like where you live, your mansion.
I got two private lakes.
Yeah, you got two private lakes. And you could just feed them every day.
Right. Yeah.
And when they get big enough for the record, you can pull them out.
I should know that. I've got a pool and a pond. Both at my mansion. We've been doing this every day, Mike, for the last, I don't know, 30 days or so. It's our countdown, the beginning of college football. Dr. Crane, hit it. It's the final countdown. Yeah, Mike and who sings that song? What band?
Tiger or – no, it's Eye of the Tiger.
No, not Survivor.
Survivor, that's no, who I thought it was.
It's Europe.
Never a big fan. Like Flock of Seagulls. I never liked that.
All right, so I messed up yesterday. Today's officially 51 days out from the start of college football. 51 days out from the start of college football. Yesterday was 52, obviously, and we screwed that up, or I did. So 51 days out, and we've been asking famous number 51s. What's your favorite 51?
Oh,
Mike, when you think of 51, what number comes to mind?
Dick Butkus.
It's easy.
It's easy. It's way too easy.
51.
And let me say, I hate these. I hate these countdowns because, like
Watch
I said, I'm in the Joe Dubin free staycation right now, just cooling, chilling out.
Right.
And everybody always has to bring up 51 days, and you'll be working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, worrying about what backup tackle sprained his ankle.
Aren't you glad that I didn't bring up Mount Rushmore?
Oh, gosh.
That's Mount Rushmore. But you know what? if you, you know, anyway, 51 days, Dick Butkus is the one. I'm trying to get any more famous 51s. Like, was Sam Mills 51?
I think he was.
Any baseball players that come? I don't watch baseball.
No basketball, anymore. Even though 51 can be a basketball number because you can do 5 and 1.
Yeah.
And you can do 5 and 6. So that's why there's no numbers over 5. The referee.
What?
Okay. There are no numbers over 6.
Whoa. So Dennis Rodman, wasn't he 91?
He was the first one that I can remember that.
Wow, look at you bringing knowledge today,
you
man.
Be, you could be 55 and you couldn't be 56. You couldn't be 60 anything. And, yeah, that he. I have no idea how he did that. But, yeah, because you can't – the referee can't do that with one,
right.
one hand.
I never thought about
four.
That.
Yeah.
Dr. Crane, did you realize this?
I did not.
Mike Organ, usually it's 2 hours I try to forget in my mind, but now Mike's bringing knowledge to us today.
Yeah, I read up a bunch of stuff last night, useless knowledge last night.
Yeah, you're right. So if you go over and you got to do the hands up and all that.
Yeah, yeah. And I have no idea. Maybe somebody can tell us. Somebody can Google how Rodman got to the waiver to wear 96.
We got a great listening audience that gets us with going. All right, so usually we got a question for today. We like to play the what-if game. And I thought today would be great, the what-if game with you. Now, you could get on this 615-737-1025. We do the what-if. We did the what-if of, like, what if Vince Young would have been good? What if Peyton Manning would have left and gone to the NFL after his junior year? What if Peyton Manning would have come to Nashville? Here's a what-if for you. And listeners, you can weigh on this today because we like playing this game. And Mike Organ, how long have you been a Tennessean? Since 19? You covered the Mayflower, right?
When I covered the Mayflower. They had a breakup touch football game, and they landed at Plymouth. And
did they beat the Indians?
And I was the yes.
I'm not sure what the score was.
They beat the Indians at Fort Stadium.
That's how football started.
Pretty well documented,
right? The football started.
And I was there, and I wrote some stuff down and there
on
we
Sanskrit. And the worst thing is, you got beat by Greg Pogue on the story. That was the worst. All right, when did you start the Tennessean?
Started 85.
85. Okay. All right. So this is a great question for you. Here's our question, guys. What if the Houston Oilers had never moved to Nashville? What if the Houston Oilers had never moved to Nashville? What would have happened to our city? That's our question. 615-737-1025. Mike Organ's in for Chase McCabe today. This is the Chase McCabe. Wait, this is the I can't even know my own damn show. This is the Chase and Big Joe show, live from the Omni National Hotel here on 102.5. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe show. Your big show before the 4th of July. Tomorrow, we've been told downtown, they're expecting about a little over 3 million people downtown to watch the fireworks tomorrow night. Mike Orr going to be down here. Don't you ring the bell or something for the fireworks?
Yes, they bring that bell from the Iroquois out here and I ring it, and I'm not leaving from here. I'm staying after this show. I'm just going to go sit in the lobby until this starts, because if you leave, you can't get back.
No, you can't. That's going tomorrow night. So, again, Chase and Big Joe show live at the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel here in downtown Nashville, where the big fireworks is tomorrow night. All right, Mike, so you know, it's funny. I tell people all the time, because now we get the Oilers Titans got here in 97, so now you're going on 29 years season-wise, or 28, whatever it is. And there was a lot that was going on back before that happened. So the Oilers get here, you know, I remember Bredesen and Bud Adams had that conversation. The Oilers play an exhibition game up in Knoxville, got the ball rolling, and next thing you know, they're here. But what happened? What would happen if they never came?
The same that had happened up to that point, nothing, where we would have continued to have gotten heard rumors. We would have continued to pursue pro entities. Like, we had gone after some NBA teams during that time and Major League Baseball. Larry Smitto, who founded the Sounds, had a study done to show – I covered this story. It was done at Centennial Sports Complex, where he had a consultant come in and say whether Major League Baseball franchise would work here. And the franchise, the guy he hired, lo and behold, said, yes, it would. You draw enough people from Cincinnati, from Atlanta, from the East, and from the West. There's enough. So we had gone after baseball probably more than anything, but we'd never gotten anything. We were Memphis back then.
Right.
Because Memphis is still, you know, that Memphis finally got an NBA franchise.
Yeah, this is not, the Predators still would have come here because that was all at the same time. They still would have come here. The arena was being built. So this has nothing to do with the Nashville Predators. They would have still been here. But NFL's kink. I mean, NFL's massive. Would we have gotten that Houston Texans team in 02? Well, I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question, because then we would have had the Predators. We'd have had a franchise at that point. But would the city have grown like it did after the NFL came? We wouldn't have been what we were without the Titans. So
yeah,
it's kind of an oxymoron, I think would be the term, because that we would have had to have the NFL to get the NFL.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, because Nissan doesn't show up here with their headquarters. I mean, they had the plant in Smyrna, but they don't show up here without the NFL, and all these other companies have come here because NFL is massive and it's king.
I was told that this is what would happen. Jeff Legwald, we had hired to cover the NFL for us when we went through this transition. Jeff told me, he goes, if the NFL comes here, this city will just transform. And I was like, yeah, well, and Jeff had been here 2 years. And I'm like, nah, you don't know that. I've been here my whole life. I've heard about all this stuff. This city's not going to transform. It's going to always be a mid-sized, nice little southern town. And but he said, no, you watch. If the NFL comes here, it'll take over, and everything will come. You know, and I'm not talking about just sports. I'm talking about everything. You know,
right.
All kinds of entertainment and business and everything else. And he was exactly right. Look what's happened since the Titans game.
It's crazy because the 97 season they played in Memphis, I mean, there was – The attendance was so bad, right? I would take my friends with me to cover the game in Memphis. And one time I'm like, where's my friend? Dale, if you're listening, you know this story. I'm like, where's Dale? And I look down, swear to God, they play the Ravens. There's like 6,000 people at Liberty Bowl. He's on the bench talking to Reggie Roby. I'm like, how the hell did my friend – nobody cared. That's why Bud's like, you know what? We need to get out of Memphis.
Yeah, they
Memphis
were supposed to stay like there this. 2 years.
Yep.
And they ended up at Vanderbilt.
I remember they played the Steelers the last game of the year at Liberty Bowl Stadium. It was 98% Steeler fans.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Bud's like, 98's got to be in Nashville. And Vanderbilt was a disaster.
I can't remember which – former Titan it was. I don't know if it was Derek Mason or one, but one I've stayed in close to all these years, who told me they almost went into the neighborhoods to knock on doors and invite people. That was discussed. It might have been Eddie told me that, Eddie George, that, yeah, we were thinking about going into some of the more affluent neighborhoods, you know, and just knock on the door and say, hey, love for you to come out Sunday.
So I remember the NFL yes vote was like 59-41. So it didn't pass with this massive majority that people like to think it did. It was 59-41 because people were like, all right, Bud Adams is getting a lot of money and a lot of things for this.
Sweet deal.
Right? For everything.
Yeah, yeah. And we threw up a stadium, just, you know, almost like putting a tent up out in the backyard. And that's why we have to build another one right now, because we threw up one that couldn't sustain for more than 30 years. And we brought them here. We did what it took, no matter what, to get them here. And a lot of people say, well, that's what you had to do during that time. You know, these things always work in eras, you know.
Yeah.
Like there's times when the NFL's thriving, or maybe, it's been thriving for a long time now. But back then, you know, if it had been in a down period, we might could have gotten them with a better deal. But, no, that was at a time where you had to bend over backwards.
Oh, yeah, you did it. You know, and I'll never forget that when – I think it all changed, at least for me, when we covered the jersey reveal. It was – Whitecheck, Eddie, Blaine, and I'm leaving somebody else out. Jeez, Joe, come on. Craig Hendrick.
Okay.
Those four came out. They unveiled the jerseys, and people were like, all right, it's our team now.
Yep.
And then people went crazy, and then the winning season in 99 took it. But I was just like, had they never come here, look what would have happened. Would we have gotten a team in Nashville? I don't think we would have.
No. I don't think so. I mean, who has come since then? Who has moved since then?
Houston
is the only team.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jacksonville and Carolina both started in 95. Oilers moved in 97. So there's been no movement. Now, would you have gone after another franchise? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, who? But who knows? But yeah. I don't know. And then, you know, and then so your job changed because going from covering Vanderbilt and Tennessee, now you got, all right, there's the Predators. We've become a big-time city now.
Oh, yeah. We had to expand our staff, to obviously, not just our sports staff, but we also had to add photographers. We had to add business people to cover the business end of it.
Right.
As did everybody. I'm sure the TV stations did the same thing, the radio stations. And then all of a sudden, there's radio shows. You know, who had the first shows? I think George had a show with Eddie.
Player shows.
Player shows. Yes,
yes, yes. Yes. I think Pogue did one with Albert Hainsworth.
Yeah, I think so too.
And just took off from there. Yeah. They were crazy shows.
And then restaurants started showing up.
Well, I remember we did the Channel 2 and John Dwyer hosted, but we did the Jeff Fisher show at Planet Hollywood.
Is that where it started? Because it moved to Opry Mills.
Opry Mills is great because the reason it moved because ABC had Monday Night Football at 8 o'clock. So there was no lead-in, so Channel 2 was able to buy the 7 to 8 o'clock hour, and now it's a Jeff Fisher show, and it led a massive lead. It was a massive lead-in. Planet Hollywood was packed, people, because it was fun. It was different. And then, for some stupid reason, ABC got rid of Monday Night Football and then went to ESPN, and so that hour was gone, and so the show was kind of after that. But people loved it. People would show up at Planet Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Planet Hollywood was great. I never understood why it left. Maybe people just showed up and didn't eat or drink.
Let me tell you something. I was at Planet Hollywood in Cancun, right? And I'm humble brag. And I'm looking. He says, this is the jacket Arnold wore in The Terminator. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. 2 weeks later, I'm at the Planet Hollywood here. Same thing. Here's the jacket. I'm like, wait, hold on. And they said it's the unique number only jacket. I'm like, all right, what are we doing? Are we lying to – I mean, you know, is it – are there multiple ones? And
he probably got blown up in one and then had to have another jacket.
But the guy said, that's the only jacket. That is the jacket. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's not going on. I just think, you know, so now you look at the city, you're getting this $2, $3 billion stadium put in over there, and now you're a major problem. I mean, only 32 cities in America have NFL teams.
It's unbelievable. And then NASCAR comes here, IndyCar comes here. We're trying to get another NASCAR here. NBA talks that heats up again. I'm a little surprised we haven't gotten an NBA team, to be honest with you.
You think NBA would work here?
I don't know. I mean, I would have never thought hockey would work here.
I got a friend who lives in Charlotte. He's like, we can get front row tickets, midweek games. Nobody goes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Nobody goes to these NBA games during the week. The TV contract's massive. They're moving over to NBC. But nobody goes to these midweek games. Yeah. Just shows you how powerful TV is.
$80 billion.
Something like that. Hell, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. And then you watch in the finals this year. Of course, it was the, you know, who it was.
Right.
Pacers in Oklahoma City. But the numbers were down. Nobody
awful.
Watched it.
The numbers were awful.
I watched the second half of the last game because I had said in a sports department meeting, I would do a story on Jenny Busek.
Yep.
Who played at University School of Nashville here, great athlete, one of the best overall athletes the city ever produced, went on to play basketball in Virginia and then in the WNBA. She's now bench coach for the Indiana Pacers.
That's great.
With hopes of becoming the first NBA head coach, if Dawn Staley doesn't beat her to it.
Right.
But I said in a news meeting or a sports meeting we had, I said, if the Pacers win, I'll call Jenny. I've kept in touch with her over the years. I said, I'll call Jenny up and do a story on, you know, her – Trek and her, you know, what this means. She was the first female to be on the bench in an NBA finals. So she did that.
Wow.
And then she would have been on the championship team for the first. So I watched, I'm at home that night and I'm thinking, I need to know if I need to call Jenny tomorrow. So I turned it on. The first time I think I've had an NBA game
by the way,
10 years.
I got her phone number. It's 8675309.
5309.
Yep, 867. Yep. So call Jenny and get it done. All right, that's fine. I just want to get your – because you'll be on the ground floor for all this. All right, when we come back, this is story time with Uncle Mike. We have to bring up the Kyle Busch story.
Oh, love it.
My friends, if you listen, you want to hear this story. It's one of the greatest media sports stories that's ever happened in this city. And I relive this all the time because it was so funny. Thanks to one legendary sports writer. We'll get you that story and much more live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Mike Organ's our guest today right here on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show live this morning at the Omni Nashville Hotel in downtown Nashville. We're ready for the big 4th of July event happening tomorrow night. I'm told there's going to be a little over 8 million people downtown tomorrow night to take all this in. Should be a lot of fun. Mike Organ with us. By the way, I'm getting all these messages, Mike, that Nick Saban is hanging out at the Predators prospect camp over at the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. Why would Nick Saban be over there?
I don't know, but he has some interest in the Predators. I can remember, and I think it was during the title run when they were in the championship, that he showed up in a sweater. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
It was
now.
When he was building the Mercedes-Benz.
That's correct.
Place
by the
his,
airport.
Yeah, with his partner. he went on social media with Miss Terry, and he had a sweater on that hung down to like his knees.
Was he wearing pants?
Remains a question. I think he has some interest in the Predators. I know that was all gimmicky and, you know, to try to draw attention to his dealership because he needed money at the time.
But somebody captured a picture of him in Preds prospect camp at Fort Ice and Bellevue.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah.
Maybe him and the Haslams are buddies?
Yeah, might be. Yeah.
Just showing up, maybe.
You know anybody that follows the Predators?
I think Derek Mason does. We'll have Derek Mason DVD on from 11 to 2. I think Derek Mason does. By the way, Derek Mason – they're not in today. Okay. Thanks, Dr. Crane. By the way, Derek Mason played for Nick Saban at Michigan State. Did you know that?
He sure did. Yeah, I did know that.
Yep. You okay right there?
Yeah, I'm
you're
trying
getting,
to get
you're
my,
getting attacked by your glasses.
Yeah, my glasses.
All right, we'll
my
get more Saban. All right, so one of the best stories, it's story time with Uncle Mike. Mike Organ, Tennessee, and in today. Is in 2009, Kyle Busch won the, what was that race called? It's the Xfinity race, Busch race.
Yeah, it was what not the Xfinity. I think it was the Grand National at the time. It may have been Busch, but Grand National.
But it wasn't the NASCAR.
No, it was just the middle level, the second, the one level below Cup.
So Kyle Busch wins the event. We all remember the video. He gets the guitar and smashes the guitar. I was standing next to Joe Williams. I thought Joe Williams was going to murder Kyle Busch.
We got a great picture of Joe Williams. And,
right?
Fortunately, you're cropped out of it. But front page, Joe Williams and Kyle Busch. And Kyle destroying a Sam Bass custom guitar sitting right there.
Right.
Yeah.
So about 2 months later, Kyle Busch is in town at the Fairground Speedway.
Yep.
And there's another event going out there. And then I'll set it up and you take it over. The Speedway PR lady comes out. There's all the media's there. It's the first time Kyle Busch has spoken to them. And this thing took over. And Tammy comes out and says, hey, please don't ask. Kyle doesn't want to talk about it. Please don't ask about the guitar incident. Let it go. It's a non-topic. We'll stop the press conference. And everybody there was like, okay, sure, no problem. You know, we're like, we bowed our heads. Like, yeah, absolutely, whatever you're going on. All right, so Kyle comes out. Mike, take it over from there.
Well, it was kind of silly because, okay, so Kyle had been advised, obviously, this wasn't Kyle's idea. He was here for the All-American 400 in November, which is run every year out at the fairgrounds. And his team had told him, you know, it might be a good time. You're going to be in Nashville. It'll be a good opportunity for you to make good on destroying the guitar in front of the creator right there. So why don't you do something? So he said, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, make some kind of donation. Well, he donated several thousand dollars to Belmont's music school for them to put in computers in their classrooms. And, yeah, it was into the tens of thousands of dollars, $40,000, $60,000, maybe $100,000. So Mike Kerb accompanies him at the in the press box at Fairground Speedway. Mike Kerb of Kerb Records, of Kerb Event Center, you've all heard. And Mike's obviously big in music. So Mike shows up. So you're right. Tammy Brewington comes out and says, okay, she doesn't say this, but there's the situation. Kyle is here to talk about making up for smashing his guitar by giving money to Belmont's Music Center, but you can't ask about the guitar.
Very emphatically, you cannot ask.
You cannot ask. It's a non-topic, even though it's the only reason he's here today is because he's giving money to the music school. So he comes out. And he's got his jumpsuit on. He's got his race suit on. And he's standing there with Mike. Me and Joe and the rest of the media are here in town. And Larry Woody, who had Hall of Fame auto racing rider for the Tennessean, covered racing since they used to run moonshine over in the hills. He covered Richard Petty, who had his 88th birthday yesterday. So everybody agrees, we're not going to ask that question. So Mike steps up and gives the exact amount and what they're going to use it for and what it'll mean for the music school. And they say, okay, let's open it up to questions. I think Kyle probably made a comment or something, an opening comment. And he said, now let's open it up for questions. First question, Larry Woody got his hand up. Tammy calls on Larry. Larry says, in retrospect, Kyle, do you wish you hadn't smashed the guitar at Nashville Super Speedway? So Tammy jumps up, and Tammy's just the messenger. Tammy jumps up and says, waves her hands. No, that's off the record. That's off we can't talk about that. That's not, that's out of bounds. And So Woody says, so she steps aside. Woody goes, what about it, Kyle? Would you have?
Right.
So
we're all laughing at this point.
Oh, gosh.
It's turning into chaos.
Joe's on one knee.
Right. I'm holding like eight microphones.
He's volunteered to hold everybody's TV mics. He's on one knee, and I'm standing above him, and I take a picture of Joe, who looks up at me like, what is going on? I thought this was going to be like a boring,
right.
a check donation kind of thing.
Yep.
And I got a great picture of Joe that I'll share on social media sometime. So Mike Kerb steps up and he goes, okay, can we just stick to the donation and what a wonderful gesture this is on Kyle's behalf? And Woody says to Mike Kerb, who hasn't been spoken to like this in probably ever, he says, why don't you let Kyle talk? Why don't you let Kyle say that, Mike? Speak for himself. And Kyle and Mike starts to say something back to Woody, and Kyle steps up and says, I'll talk about it. And Woody's known Kyle Busch since he was 8 years old, running around with his older brother, you know, who was also a NASCAR driver, Kurt Busch. So Woody'd known him since he was a kid, and he knew all you had to do was push his buttons,
right,
and he'd talk about it. And he did. He stepped in front of Mike Kerb, and he said, I'll talk about it. No, I don't regret it. It was a spur of the moment, and I've talked to Sam Bass since then, and he didn't have any problem with it, and I'm just doing this because I love music or whatever he said.
And so that's going on. We're all laughing. Other people asking questions. Tammy's trying to shut everybody up. It got so big that during all that, right after that, ESPN texts me and says, hey, we want that video. And so it made ESPN. It was a big deal, and it just took off, and it was bizarre. And so I tell when I talk to journalism students, I bring up Larry Woody.
And Woody
don't let PR people tell you what you can't
do. Absolutely not. This is America.
Right.
And Larry Woody was retired at the time, by the way. I had replaced Larry Woody as the NASCAR driver, rider.
Yeah.
That's why I'm there, is to cover. Woody's doing this for some magazine. I can't even remember the name of it. He's freelancing.
Right.
He's just there to, you know, grab a couple of quotes, go back home, write a story, make a couple of $100.
Yes.
But the newspaper man in him wouldn't let him do that, so he did that. So you mentioned there were some other people standing up. There's Mike, there's Tammy, there's Kyle, there's another guy, younger guy up there, 20, 22 years old. Well, after it all calms down, relatively, the young man comes up to Woody and says, I want to talk to you outside. Well, Larry Woody is a Vietnam vet.
Okay? Right.
He was there, you know, and Woody's pretty tough. He's from the South. He's a hunter and fisherman. You know, he goes to Canada every year on a trip. Takes 13 hours to get there, where he drives straight to it, stops for pee breaks, and that's it. And then he takes a hop out on an island. That's the only way you can get out there on a small plane. And then he hunts and fishes for a week or two every year.
Wow.
So anyway, so Woody gladly steps outside, which is outside the press box there with this guy. And I follow him, and I stop at the door because I'm not going to try to get between them. I want to hear it. So I'm listening outside the door, and the guy got on to Woody, called him a couple of we used the initials. I don't want to do that, but Woody lit into him, and I mean, and like I said, I'm standing behind a steel door, and I could hear just Woody going off.
Yes.
So they come back in. Woody comes back in. I don't even remember if the kid came back in.
At this point, Kyle Busch is still going.
Kyle Busch is still talking.
Still talking.
Yeah, it's like one-on-ones now.
Yeah,
yeah, and but he had this guy had not asked Kyle. You know, you think I ought to take up for you? He was going to go take Woody outside, take him to the woodshed, then come back and tell Kyle, say, hey, look, that guy that said that to you, even though Kyle knew who it was, he just said, I got on to him pretty good. I doubt that he did that after that.
Oh, it was great. And so it just spiraled. I mean, it truly, in a second, spiraled out of control, because when he shushed Mike Kerb up and then Kyle stood up and started talking, and then it was screaming. And Tammy's trying to control things. I'm asking questions. When ESPN calls and says, hey, we want this video. Because the guitar thing became a huge story.
Yeah.
He smashed the guitar.
Oh, it was a national story.
Yeah.
And to this day, it remains a national story. And he's been a good sport about it, because he won another Xfinity race at the Fairgrounds 2 years ago. And as soon as it was over, he pulls into victory lane. They hand him a guitar, and he takes it up and puts it over his head like he's going to smash it, and then smiles and brings it back down.
Oh, yeah.
So he's still, you know, everybody, it's still a story.
Yeah.
And, And Kyle's, you know, he's at the end of his career. I don't know how much longer he's going to race, but that will go down. He's won a lot of races. He hadn't won any lately, but that'll go down part of his legacy.
Always. I'll never forget that moment. All right, more with Mike Organ and for Chase McCabe. Story time here today till 11 o'clock right here on 102.5 Live from the Omni National Hotel. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. I think if you interrupt the song, you get arrested. So, thank you there, Dr. Crane, Lee Greenwood. I've seen Lee Greenwood sing that song at, see, he sung at the Sugar Bowl between Miami and Tennessee. I saw him sing it at the opening of a grocery store in, I think it was Goodlettsville, Hendersonville area. I've seen him sing that song at a car dealership. I've seen Lee Greenwood sing that song.
I've seen people stand and put their hand over their heart when he sings this song. They think it's the national anthem.
Maybe it should be there, Mike Organ. Maybe it should be. We've gotten our good friend Bill Wickett for the Nashville Predators, who is a very good man, informed us that Nick Saban and Bill Haslam are good friends. And then he invited old Nick Saban up to talk to the boys on Tuesday, he said. A little bit of inspiration and knowledge for Nick Saban.
Who picks up the check there if they go out to dinner?
Haslam or Saban. Right? Probably neither one of them.
No, the crazy thing is they don't have to pay. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The people with plenty of money don't have to pay for their dinner.
Oh, no. Would it be, I mean, Saban, I mean, it's – I listen to him talk, right? I mean, it's – we like that. I mean, no holds barred.
I love Saban. Yeah. I like Saban and I like Kyle Busch, two people that most people think the media hates and that they hate the media. I don't think they hate the media at all.
Yeah.
I think they like the media. They like to control the message, but who doesn't? You know, everybody – if you're talking to somebody, do you not want to control what you're saying?
Yeah.
So – but I like both of them. I like to I would jump at the – I drove out to on a weekend to talk to Saban one time when he opened the Mercedes dealership. I was off that day, but I drove over there because I do a column every week, and I knew he would give me fodder for that column. And I just stood there and listened to what he said, and then I asked a couple of questions, and he's great. And that's why he's on ESPN now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's if Nick he hated the media, he wouldn't be in the media now.
And it's funny, you know, you look at Saban and you realize, all right, he left LSU in 04 and went to the Dolphins. He was a good coach, right? But I didn't think he would be this when he was at Alabama. I mean, it was amazing.
I'm old enough that I remember his daddy, and his daddy was just a good, average
Who's
NFL dad? Coach.
Lou Saban?
Lou Saban.
That's a great cousin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Their tributary was very vast.
Okay.
Well, it's like they had a great grandpa together, and then there's like a bunch. That's what I thought, too.
So they're like the Gillies and Jimmy Swagger that just died.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. Now, they were all first cousins, though.
Yeah, this was all – I mean, there's like
– Okay, well – okay, well,
down the line.
Still, nonetheless, when I thought about Lou Saban, I always thought about Nick Saban. I was like, he's getting in – he's following the lineage, and he's an okay coach.
Well, I mean, remember, Saban, the first year Alabama, they lost to – was it Louisiana Monroe?
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, oh,
I think
boy.
It was.
Oh, boy.
And then they lose to Ole Miss that year. And
they went 6-6, yeah. I think, or 6-7-5, something. I mean, they made the bowl game, and then next year they lost to Florida in the SEC championship game. And then 2 years later, they win the national championship. And it was just like, oh, my goodness, how it took off. But, yeah, I mean, but I wonder if the Russian goaltender knows Nick Saban, or whoever. I don't know the Preds prospects. Kind of like, who's this old man?
I know. It's unbelievable how soon you become forgotten.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because how many young kids know Nick Saban?
How many young kids from Canada know who Nick Saban is?
Yeah, yeah.
But they'd be like, this guy is one of the greatest coaches of all time. If you brought somebody in here and said, this guy's the greatest coach of all time, from a sport, I would listen. Because if you're telling me you're the greatest at something,
yeah,
I'm going to listen to this coach with some soccer coach from Europe. I don't follow soccer, but I'm like, I'd listen.
And that goes back to what you were saying about what Nashville is. One of the first big events we got was the Sara Lee Classic,
yeah,
the LPGA event, a tournament on the LPGA. And it packed. And, you know, you're from out that way. Your cousin built Hermitage Golf Course, Mike Eller. They would pack the place every day. And I say pack, 10 to 15 to 20,000.
Big deal.
At the golf course every day. Big deal. Why was it a big deal? Because it was the best at that sport in the world.
Right.
And people will come see the best play or do anything.
That's right.
Arm wrestle, ping pong, golf, whatever. People come see it.
Curling, they'll do whatever. Do it. All right, very good. All right, we'll come back with the 10 o'clock hour. We got to tell the Jay Cutler story. We've told it before. If you've not heard this Jay Cutler Vanderbilt quarterback story, it's always fascinated me because – Not now, we love Clark Lee, but this was typical Vanderbilt back in the day. And you'll explain the Cutler story, which I love, because if this happened, there'd be no Jay Cutler on this side. We'll get with that. Mike Organ in for Chase McCabe today. We're live at the Omni National Hotel right here at 102.5 The Game.